Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If there's one thing that Lutherans know how to do, it's food. Now, I'm not nearly as good of a cook as any of our ladies are. I tried making a cake for my sister when she was here, since it was around her birthday, and she likes red velvet, and it's, well, at least it tasted okay. But some in our congregation are absolute magicians when it comes to cooking and baking. Try any of the food at our potlucks or dinners or luncheons or funeral dinners, and you will find some absolutely amazing food. And you'll find that there's always enough. Something that I suppose we have in common with Jesus when he is the one who provides for us. Now our text in our gospel reading today picks up after Jesus has been busy in teaching and healing for many, many days and weeks. The last several weeks of our gospel readings have focused on many of Jesus' parables that he used to teach the crowds about the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the sower, the wheat and the tares, the pearl and treasure and fish last week, all of these are ways that Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God comes, how it is that we receive the kingdom of God, how it is that we live in the kingdom of God. Jesus had taught the crowds with parables day in and day out. And then in the evening, he would explain the parables to the disciples in private. In Nazareth, Jesus had been rejected by the people of his hometown who refused to believe in him. A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and among his own people. We remember this kid when he was growing up. He was Joseph's kid. You can see why they might not believe him. They rejected him in Nazareth, and he left without performing more than a handful of miracles in his hometown with his home people. And then the biggest blow of all comes right before our reading today picks up, when Jesus heard what had happened to John, his cousin and forerunner. He had been executed by Herod. John was the one who had declared Jesus at the Jordan River to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John had leapt in the womb when the pregnant Mary had greeted his, John's, still pregnant mother. What before John was even born, John was already announcing the coming of Jesus. John had baptized Jesus in the Jordan River while proclaiming repentance to prepare the way before the coming Messiah. He had looked at Jesus and said, "You need to baptize me, but I will baptize you because that is what's necessary." John had announced that one is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am unworthy to untie, and then he pointed at Jesus and said, "That's him." And if Herod would do this to John, what would he do to Jesus? So you can imagine why Jesus would be feeling exhausted at this point, why he would go off by himself looking for a little R&R. Teaching and healing will take its toll. And on top of the grind of daily ministry, Jesus was also grieving the death of his cousin. If it were me in that position, I would probably have been asking myself, is there enough of me left? Physically and emotionally exhausted, Jesus went off by himself into a desolate location in order to pray. But there's no way for Jesus to find somewhere desolate enough for the crowd to not find him. He could not get away from all these pressing needs of the pressing people who followed him on the shore and got there ahead of him. Jesus, worn out as he was by having served these people for so long, having withdrawn for prayer and refreshment after the death of his cousin, and yet he still could not ignore people in need. He began to heal their sick despite his own exhaustion. Looking at the other Gospels where Matthew focuses on Jesus' healing here at the sea, Mark adds that he also began to teach them, teaching and healing when he was looking for refreshment. Even though Jesus seems to be tapped out on compassion and energy, he still has enough left for these. How often does that happen to us? How often do we feel tapped out, exhausted, wanting nothing more than to rest? And how often do people come to us demanding just a little bit more of our time and energy when we don't think we have anything left to give? And as believing, redeemed people of God, we do try our best to serve those in need, to share God's love and compassion with them, most of the time. But how often do we push people away or act short towards them because we just can't give anything more? Now, we like to think that we would never turn our back on someone who is in need, that we would never push them away or tell them, I can't do anything for you today, but that's not quite true for us. I know that for myself, it is all too easy to get into the mindset of needing to get away and then ignoring any calls for help, any needs that I might still be able to fulfill. Now, we do need time for rest and relaxation, and yet Jesus is so much better than us. Jesus does not turn his back. He never turns his back on those who are in need of his love and compassion. He continues to heal, continues to teach, continues to care, heedless of the cost to himself. That's why Jesus is so much better, so much greater than we are. He is fully God, even as being fully human, he experiences all the same weaknesses that we do. There is always enough of Jesus' compassion for those who need him. But simply healing isn't the end of Jesus' care for these people here by the Sea of Galilee, however. The people here are hungry, and with Jesus, there is always enough. They're in a desolate place right now, far away from anywhere where they could find food. Jesus had come to this place to get away from the crowds after all, but now the crowds are here, but there is nothing around for miles. The people hadn't brought anything with them to eat. They had rushed away right off to get to Jesus. They hadn't had time to stop and pack a lunch. And if they tried to leave and find food, even if they could, they would faint along the way. There are a handful of villages around, but even if they do find food in those villages, there are so many, 5,000 men plus women and children, that this crowd would eat these surrounding villages out of food before everyone has had even a bite. So Jesus turns to the disciples. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. And I can only imagine the shock on the disciples' faces as they realize he's serious, isn't he? And Jesus asks what the disciples have on them, and they look around and say, well, I got 5 loaves of bread, a couple of fish, but there's 5,000 of them, Jesus. That's maybe a molecule for each of them, if they're lucky. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish for so many. But with Jesus, there's always enough. Jesus tells the crowd to sit down. He blesses the loaves and blesses the fish. And then he gives them to the disciples for the disciples to distribute. You give them something to eat. And the disciples hand the food out to the people. How shocked do you think the disciples were as they began to distribute the food? There are so many of these, and there's so little food to share among them, but somehow the food in their hand never seems to end. When do you think it was that they realized just how miraculous this was, that they had fed so many with so little? But with Jesus, somehow, there's always enough. The disciples doubted at first, but that doubt turned to amazement and shock as the bread continued to come. What a miracle that was. Jesus provides for all of these people's needs, 5,000 families in total, using just 2 small fish and 5 loaves of bread. Barely a snack for one person. And incredibly, he used the disciples to help him do it. Do you find yourself afraid of what the future might hold, wondering where everything you need will come from? Do you wonder if there will be enough? Are you afraid, unsure, when you look at what you have or don't have? Trust in Jesus. He promises that he will always provide. Now, this doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. This doesn't mean that you can content yourself with doing nothing and waiting for God to provide. But this means that God knows what you need. God has compassion on you, and he will provide for your needs. With Jesus, there's always enough. Now, of course, Jesus doesn't only provide for our physical needs. He also provides everything we need spiritually, the spiritual food and drink that strengthens us in our faith so we do not faint on the way. It doesn't look like much, a splash of water, a bite of bread, a few sips of wine, but it is everything that we need. The water is a true baptism. The bread and wine are Jesus' true body and blood. How? We don't know. We can't know how God performs any miracle any more than the disciples could wrap their heads around the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. We simply take it on faith as we come before him, weakened and wearied though we are by the physical and spiritual exhaustion of living and serving as his people in this world. We gather together around this table with all of those who have gone before us, with all of those who will come after us, with all of those who believe in Jesus Christ and believe that they are receiving Christ's true body and blood. And there's always enough of God's grace and forgiveness to go around. Because with Jesus, there's always enough. Amen. Now may this true body and true blood,